Although I'm a licensed professional counselor in the state of Texas, this podcast is not therapy and should not be used as therapeutic intervention. Many of the products and practices mentioned are for educational and informational purposes only. Should you need support, please seek appropriate, qualified, and licensed professionals. Hey, y'all. Welcome to Between a Hot Mess and a Therapist, the podcast where we navigate the murky waters between what society expects and what it means to truly live, embrace the messiness, the beautiful chaos of life, and celebrating the rebellion in the process. Whether you're a recent graduate, a seasoned therapist, or someone just curious, there's something here for everyone. But before we dive in, make sure you join the Hot Mess Rebellion community where you can connect to other like-minded souls. I'm your host, Shauna Lovin, a seasoned therapist and wellness educator with a very rebellious spirit. So grab your favorite beverage, get comfortable, and let's dive into today's rebellion. Hey, y'all. Welcome back to another episode of Between a Hot Mess and a Therapist. So it is September and it is Suicide Prevention Month. That is a topic we do have today. So if this is not something that sits well with you, I'm just going to give you the caution now. But it's something that we need to keep talking about. We're not putting the idea in anyone's head. We are not giving them a go ahead. We're not doing any of that. But basically, it's just a place where we just need to keep talking about it so that we can keep reaching the people that need the help. They may not be asking for it, but they probably need some help somewhere. So if you didn't catch, I did have a whole training last week, I believe, on suicide prevention. So make sure you go into the portal or you go into like my stuff and then see if you can find that, because I don't just talk about like, here's the stats, here are the things. We talk about some real life experiences and what that looks like. You know, how can you differentiate some thinking versus just something else? And so I have a whole thing about that. So I'm going to encourage you to go look that up and kind of learn something new for yourself. But I realized that after two decades of just experience in the mental health field, I have just realized that the depth and the breadth of human suffering sometimes often remains hidden from view. And sometimes the darkest moments aren't always the most dramatic. Sometimes they're super subtle, they're quiet, they're unnoticed. And a lot of times, I would say frequently, that is the case. Like, people aren't outward when it comes to the way that they're thinking all the time. So these experiences, these dark moments that people are having, have just taught me that the more significant impact comes from just me listening. It comes from me being present, and it comes from me understanding the nuances of their personal story behind the pain. So it's like when we talk about individualizing our treatment, this is something that is a place where we definitely have to look at, are we really individualizing the treatment and the care? So we share these stories and we learn from them and we use them to inform, you know, like our approaches to suicide prevention is critical. Like, this is how we learn, because I was kind of asking my associates and I was kind of asking some more seasoned therapists, like, hey, did we really talk about suicide or suicide prevention in grad school? And everyone was like, no, they kind of like briefly touched on it, but didn't really go into detail about like what that is, what it looks like. And so that's kind of why I'm here. Yes. So we have to remember that it's about connecting on a human level. And recognizing that every life matters, that every struggle is real, and every story deserves to be heard. It's like we know the basics of support and they're in place and we know what comes next. We kind of know what to do. But really, when you think about the bigger picture, suicide prevention involves a more nuanced risk and assessment. Remember, it's personalized. It's about the long-term support plans that we need to work with our clients. It's about deep understanding of each individual's unique needs and circumstances. This is like way beyond like the immediate crisis intervention that we typically provide. And, you know, we need to provide more of a sustainable, proactive care. So we as therapists need to equip ourselves with the tools and the knowledge on how to handle all this. And this is why I kind of go into this on the workshop that I did last week, because this is kind of what we're needing. It's not just understanding the basics, but it's how do we take the next step and go beyond that. So I bring this up because this kind of taps into, you know, more of a personal note of what are some moments that went unnoticed. Now, personally, I have never experienced wanting to harm myself or wanting to end my life. But I do remember a time where, you know, I was really down, I was really depressed, and it was after I had my daughter, and she's almost 12 now. And it kind of boiled down to I wasn't getting enough sleep, I wasn't regenerating enough, I was maybe feeling a little burnt out because of work. There was like a whole lot of other things that were happening. And so that's kind of the low point that I have. And so I don't use it as a barometer when I work with other people. I actually have someone in my life personally that really has contemplated wanting to end their life. And so I just want to say, like, think back to maybe about 2000 and maybe nine. I walk into this house to a person that I am super close and familiar with. It is not uncommon to walk into the house to see firearms, to see other types of weapons just kind of out because of the type of job that they have. So it's not uncommon. Things seem fairly normal. You have your greetings, hello, how are you doing? How was your day? Kind of things. And it wasn't until sometime after that, and I'm not sure if it was like that day, like later on, or was it like a couple weeks later, but there was this conversation that came up between me and this other person, and we just kind of started talking, and they reminded me of this day that I walked into the house. And as they were going into details about how they were feeling, what was going on, I realized that I single-handedly that particular day prevented someone from taking their own life. And it wasn't that I did anything special. It wasn't that I said anything differently. It wasn't that, it wasn't different. It seemed normal. That's the part that I want to emphasize, is that I walk into this house, I did what I would normally do when I see this person, and I saved their life that day. And this is the point that I kind of want to bring up with all this, is like, you don't know like what people are going through unless they tell you. Sometimes you can't really pick up on the cues because they seem fairly normal. And it wasn't until we were having the conversation after the fact that they're going through about all the things that they're feeling, what they've been experiencing, you know, and feeling, you know, depressed and overwhelmed. And there was just a lot of things going on in this person's life at the time. And they were, you know, still adjusting to this huge move. You know, they're in their maybe mid to late 20s at the time. And it was this place where you know, you didn't know, like, there were any issues. Like, there just weren't any. It wasn't apparent. I'll say that. And so I am just going to say, like, now this person freely talks about suicide and what you can do to maybe help other people. They personally have helped other people in their field to prevent them from taking acts. They're open about, like, where they are in life, but I think sometimes, like, that can be a lesson within itself. And now the relationship that I have with this person is very different than it was back then. I mean, it's definitely grown, and I'm closer to the person for sure. But at the same time, I regularly check in with this person. Hey, how's it going? And then I start trying to read between the lines and try to find out if there's what's kind of really going on in their life, and they're just not saying anything to me. But I also realize that in more recent years, like, when you start asking questions, something that typically will come out is like, no, I'm not thinking about suicide. I'm not thinking about that. But this is where I'm at. And so I appreciate the authenticity and the honesty that I get from this person now about where they really are. And so I would say, like, even though when we are trained as therapists to look at the verbal cues, look at the nonverbal cues, do they have protective factors? What are the risks that are involved with this person moving in this space? And I'm here to tell you, sometimes you really have to throw all that shit out the window, because a person who is in that space doesn't always exhibit the things that we are taught in school or the things that we learn in school. And not only that, as I have become more seasoned as a therapist, it's easier for me to pick up on the things that people don't say. It's easier for me to ask the questions that people aren't alluding to. It's easier for me to help validate whatever experience that they're having. It's easier for me to make sure that they're getting the help that they need, you know. But again, the person has to want the help, but it's easier now that I've been more seasoned as a therapist to really dive in and help a person really navigate where they are. And so if you've never heard me talk about how I do it, especially like when I'm working with clients and I have like this, when I'm doing a risk assessment, I have like this spectrum that I typically use. And so I want you to use this. This may help you. If it doesn't, then, you know, just leave and don't worry about it. So on the spectrum, on one end, you have thoughts of self-harm, suicide, you know, and then on the other end, you have escape. In the middle is dying, and I'll explain why I do it this way. So when we think about escape, we think about feeling overwhelmed, not sure what to do. We think about running away, and we feel like if we ran away and came back, if I just kind of like went to sleep in some cases and came back, things would be okay. That is escape. Okay. So when we're overwhelmed, that is some place that we typically live because our brain is trying to figure out like what to do, how to fix this problem. In the middle, it's dying. And so this is more than like, hey, I am pre-planning my, afterlife for my family. This is more than that. This is a person feels like if they died, if they went away in that aspect, that things would get better. Now, this would be more passive in my brain because you're actively thinking about not physically being here, but that doesn't mean that you have the actual thoughts of wanting to end your life, which is what more ideation is. And ideation on the other end of the spectrum is you're thinking about dying, you're having plans. Sometimes you have to dig into the plans. Like, do they really have the means for the plan? Is there really intent behind that plan? Like, these are things you're going to have to like sort out. So on the spectrum, we have ideation, we have dying, and we have escape. A lot of people, I'm not going to go into the millennial thing that I have or the younger folks and the Gen Zs and like the way that they process information. I'm not going to go there. But when we're on this spectrum and we think about like a lot of people feel like in this space of escape, and then at minimum, it's really passive ideation when they think about dying. That's where a lot of people live. And that's because we're overwhelmed. And as a therapist, you have to be able to learn how to pick it apart to understand where is this person. Now, the other caveat that gets thrown into this that I think people misunderstand is self-interest behavior. And people will automatically assume that if I'm engaging in self-interest behavior, that I want to end my life. That is not necessarily the case. Because if you ask a person if they did this or this is what they're thinking about, and you ask them, was that an act of trying to release pain, release some emotion, to release is the key word, and they say yes, you know that that is a self-interest behavior and there's typically not any intent to want to end their life. You have to kind of know the difference. It's not that, you know, everyone is going to neatly fit into these zones. Like the story that I started with today, everyone doesn't neatly fit into the categories, but my personal experience is how I developed this spectrum when it came to suicide, talking about it, prevention of it, risk assessment. Like, this is what has helped me as a therapist. My own experience is what has helped me as a therapist understand the spectrum that a lot of people actually live on. But society tells us that if you have any thoughts of ideation, doesn't matter what it is, what it looks like, what it feels like, that you automatically want to end your life. And that is just not true. So I bring in this today because I want you to take something away. Just because a person looks fine, just because they're not saying the trigger words, just because they're not experiencing things that would be synonymous with like suicide, does not mean that they are not. So I want you to take what I've given you, apply it to the things that you already know. Maybe you picked up something new. If you want more information just about how this looks or how do you work through it, maybe some more caveat and nuances, make sure you check out my replay on the workshop from last week. So make sure you do that. And September is Suicide Prevention Month. So go forth and be prosperous. Until next time.
Thanks for joining today's rebellion with me. Remember, it's okay to be a hot mess sometimes. It's all part of the journey. Until next time, stay rebellious, stay authentic, and keep embracing the beautiful messiness of life. Don't forget to join the Hot Mess Rebellion community where you can connect with other like-minded souls. And anything mentioned in today's episode will be linked in the show notes. If you enjoyed today's episode, make sure you subscribe, you share with a friend, you leave a review, and you keep coming back for more. This podcast was brought to you by Healing Roots Wellness and Botanicals. For more information, please visit healingrootswab.com.